This podcast is brought to you by Money Control. Hello and welcome to Money Control. You're listening to FutureWise and I'm Keetana Shankaran. I have Saraswati with me today and we are going to talk about how the All India Council of Technical Education and the UGC, which is the University Grants Commission, are planning to come up with a fresh list of colleges which will be blacklisted. This is to prevent fake degrees that are coming up in the country. Hi and welcome to the show, Saraswati.
Hi, Keetana.
How do we find out if an institute is blacklisted?
So typically both, you know, AICT and UGC bring out these annual lists of these unapproved institutions, which are generally called as blacklisted in normal parlance. So when you go to the UGC or the AICT website, they have a list of unapproved institutions, which they update usually every 6 to 8 months. So you can click on that and you can check whether or not your institute features in it or not.
Okay.
Now, this is crucial. You do it before you apply to the institute, because at the end of the day, if it is an unapproved institution, the degree or the diploma that you receive will have no value if you go to an employer.
Okay, so when will we get the finalized list and when can we go to the website and find these colleges?
So till now, UGC and AICT would bring these lists now on an annual basis. But now that the National Education Plan is set to be implemented, both UGC and AICT will be merged and there will be one higher education authority that will be set up. So because of this, a fresh list will be prepared wherein all the past lists will be compiled and they will have officers visiting each of the past institutes to check if they are meeting the standard qualifications, after which the institutes will have to reapply to get approved.
Okay. What are the standard qualifications? How do they analyze whether the college is fit and, you know, it doesn't have to go into the blacklist?
So typically what happens is the first criteria which AICT and UGC have is the financing criteria. So the amount which, or the funding which the institute will have to show is between 70 crore to around 150 crore. So you'll have to show that as funding and not as probable funding. Now what happens is a lot of these institutes which are set up as new entities kind of promise that the 100 crore of funds will come in the next 1 or 2 years.
Okay.
But AICT and UGC both want that the fund should already not just be on paper but should be available in the bank accounts directly.
Okay.
So this is typically to ensure that they have the, you know, necessary money to set up the infrastructure and also offer degrees and also offer the basic academic facilities to the students. Over and above that, they look at the land as well. So earlier it was that even if you could show that you are in talks with a developer or a builder to get a piece of land, it was approved. But now you'll have to show the exact piece of land that you have bought and also the structure and the proposed construction plan of each of the schools. They will also have a limit depending on the type of the course. They will also have a limit of the number of students to be intaked. What happens is a lot of these unapproved institutes end up taking thousands of students and not able to pay proper care to them or to their academic needs. So typically a class size that an AICT or an UGC wants is between 70 to 100 and a faculty-student ratio to be around 1 is to 20 or 1 is to 30.
Okay.
Then over and above that, they would also want to see whether you have accreditation for each individual course. Now what happens is AICT and UGC have, you know, powers to accredit the course as a whole, but each, you know, each segment or each module within the course, there is a national body or a national council of accreditation that is there in India.
Okay.
So for that each course or the each module to be considered as a proper or fit course, you need to get the NAB accreditation as well. So NAB typically looks at whether it meets the needs of the corporate world or whether it meets the need of the research and academic world. So the NAB looks at the quality of the course and then gives the approval. So more the number of NAB accreditations that you have, the better are your chances of getting an AICT approval.
Okay, so what happens when a particular institute is not accredited?
So when these lists are brought out, before the lists are brought out, the AICD and UGC do try to get in touch with the institutes to see if they have, you know, approvals or if they have the documents in place. Now, if they either don't respond or they don't submit the documents on time, or if the regulator finds that they are lacking in terms of infrastructure or funding, they put them in these unapproved lists. Now, what happens is, these, as per law, these institutes are not allowed to offer a degree or diploma without having the approval. Okay. For instance, if you look at Maharashtra, you know, someone like a JJ College of Architecture, which is one of the renowned colleges of architecture, is among the unapproved institutions by AICTE.
Oh, okay.
So then this also is, while JJ College is considered the best college for architecture in Mumbai, if it's in the unapproved list, there is a bit of an uncertainty or a gray area when it comes to what happens to the students.
Okay.
Now, while it is a renowned institute, and maybe a student who would want to pursue their education abroad may or may not get affected. But say if you want to apply for higher education somewhere in Maharashtra or in other parts of India, once you go there and when your future education institution finds out that your graduation degree is not from a valid college, you may land into trouble.
Okay. Can the institute reapply for accreditation?
Yeah, the institute basically does have the right to reapply unless there has been, say, a particular instance of fraud or mismanagement of funds, okay, which has been proven. Otherwise, for which they are completely blacklisted. If not, the institute, of course, can reapply next year when the process opens up. So while the process, I mean, because considering is a lengthy process and there is a lot of due diligence that is done by both AICTE and UGC, but it is there is a window that is there for the institutes that can reapply. It is also crucial before, for instance, if I'm undergoing a 3-year or a 4-year course, if the institute has been declared as unapproved the first year, they still have an opportunity to reapply in the second, third year, so that by the time I graduate, my institute is considered a recognized AICTE approved institution.
Okay.
But yeah, of course, they will have to pay a few penalties if there have been some lacuna, or if they have been, you know, lacking in a few areas. But AICTE always considers these applications, and even if there is a grievance, they can apply to the Executive Council, which is, you know, one stage above the AICTE and UGC, and of course, you know, to get the approvals in place.
Okay. So what can passouts do if they are from such institutes and they already have a degree from that institute?
Unfortunately, the thing is that if your institute is not recognized, it does cause a lot of complications in terms of your future employment opportunities.
Okay.
While you can go abroad and justify that you were not aware that the institute was not recognized, and that you can show your practical knowledge, or if you have some internship experiences, okay, you can show that and complement it through the education degree. Also, a lot of your Ivy League schools may or may not consider these so-called lists. For instance, you know, your ISB in Bangalore, which is one of the most leading business schools in India, has been consistently unapproved by AICTE for a long time, and they have not really applied as such for AICTE approval.
Okay.
But students graduate out of that institute and end up getting good jobs or end up working abroad.
Okay.
So if you work your way through it in terms of, say, you know, backing up your degree with good upskilling courses or getting a good internship on board, then it should not be very difficult. But if you're only relying on that one degree to, you know, help you get a dream job, then it could become a little difficult.
Okay. So it would also be advisable for students who are studying in such institutes to, you know, also pursue something on the side, like an internship, so that even if the institute doesn't work out and they do not get the accreditation, they can still, you know, have certain work experience for their careers.
That's right, especially because, you know, if it's a reputed institute, say like an ISV or a JJ college, the likelihood of the institute shutting down is very low. But if, say, if it's a tier 2 or a tier 3 city, wherein there are more than, say, 300-400 institutes which are not recognized, there is a higher likelihood of it being, you know, mandatorily asked to shut down.
Okay.
Where, of course, you have no other option but to look for pursuing a course somewhere else. But then you have to again start from the first year onwards.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Saraswati, for these updates.
Thanks, Keetana.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as ₹289 for 1 year. Use code Diwali. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
Do read up more on this, and if you have any queries, you can always approach us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views and updates, stay logged on to Money Control. Thanks for listening.